If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, here we are.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And truthfully, it's actually a very pretty Friday. It started out cloudy and kind of eh, and now we've got, you know, little scudding clouds across and a wind and feels very nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful out. Mm. We're very lucky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So since this is our live show, I feel weird, you know? It's live. Oh, my gosh.
It's live.
Okay, so obviously for those that have tuned in, we've had a very interesting and fun week. We did our grad night events last weekend and had a lot of young, budding 18-year-olds out there that are going to hit the world with all of their enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to do readings for them. And, of course, it took all of our efforts because they just kept lining up and kept lining up and kept lining up.
Yeah.
So, and then we progressed onward with our week.
Yeah.
And your week was like how?
Well, Miss Elvira, it's been a pretty normal week, I think. Nothing too exciting. It's my first summer break for with my daughter, mm-hmm. so I've been able to be on my own schedule and not her school schedule.
Ah.
It's my favorite time of the year. I love not having to drag a cranky teenager out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
So that's been pretty awesome to have my schedule back.
Mm-hmm.
It's short, right, because August is when school starts again.
Right.
Which feels like August is tomorrow.
I know.
So I'm going to try and not think about that and just enjoy
the moment.
And we are getting so much new stuff in the shop right now. I'm stocking up for the summer because I'm going to be gone
mm-hmm.
doing teachings at witch camp, so I want to make sure the store is super stocked. And so we have a new jewelry vendor.
Ooh.
We always have a statue sale in July, so I'm getting ready now.
Mm-hmm.
The statue sale that's coming up in a month.
Mm.
Just all kinds of fun stuff.
Nice.
And, you know, we have our own, well, you know.
Yes.
We have our own line of products.
Yes.
I make salves and incenses and sprays.
Mm-hmm.
Not odorless incense, that's silly. Smokeless incense. And they're each aligned with a different goddess. Uh-huh. And so I just got a shipment of bottles in today, so I will be making product all weekend.
Ooh, nice.
Fun, because we chant over the mixtures and we sing songs to the goddess it's dedicated to really add extra layers of magic to the formulas.
Uh-huh.
And when I get back from all of my witch camp teachings, we're going to release a line of oils.
Nice.
Which will be really fun. So
all
of that is happening on top of all of my other business. But that feels like normal, not like too much.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
grad night weekend, it's a lot of work and it's so fun and it's energizing and exciting, but it's also exhausting. And by the end of the weekend, I was done.
Yes.
So it's nice to have had this week of a little bit of extra time
mm-hmm.
for my own schedule,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of extra time for my quote-unquote regular work.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a nice, normal week with the intense full moonness today.
Today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are.
How are you, Elvira?
Well, gosh, the same, just not with all the oils and things. And I do have to plug the Hecate spray because mm-hmm. I use that a lot, and it is very good.
Yeah.
And it, in my opinion, for what I use it for, it protects, it clears, it calls that goddess in so that I feel when I'm working, especially with clients and, you know, doing things that I need to do, it's very strong and very powerful. So
Thank you.
A plug. But it's good.
Thank you.
Protection. So that's a big one. But, you know, it's been a regular week with, you know, lots of clients in the first 3 days and then, you know, kind of getting put together for the show and put together for the weekend. And now I'm getting ready like you. I'm trying to get myself organized for when I'm going to be leaving for Arkansas to go visit my daughter for 2 weeks in July. And so my brain is categorizing. This has to go away. This gets washed. This gets done.
Yeah.
You know, all of
yeah.
those things.
The packing list.
The packing list, the cleaning list, the, you know, so it's kind of a trip because it feels good.
Yeah.
Because this week, as you say, with all the intensity, it feels a lot more even to be able to do it because it's very mm-hmm. grounding. It's like if I'd had that as just a normal thing, I'd go, oh, God, I have to do this. But now I'm looking and relishing at it. So, and our subject for today is the fairy tradition.
Yes, the next in our line of different witchcraft traditions.
Mm-hmm.
The fairy tradition, that's the F-E-R-I,
yes.
or also known as the Anderson fairy tradition.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the myriad of other
fairy traditions.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is another tradition that has a birthplace, pretty much a birthplace of the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of, we have a lot of fairy practitioners in this area
mm-hmm.
because there were many people who had access to the founders of this tradition
mm-hmm.
when they lived here
mm-hmm.
before they passed away.
True. So why don't we just do like a history of
okay.
how these people came to this point of reference and then we can kind of move
sure.
on forward.
Sure. All right. I have so many notes on this topic, and I just want to give a shout out. I was telling Elvira this before we got on the air. A lot of the information that I gathered to talk about fairy, because neither of us are initiated in fairy,
mm-hmm.
we wanted to make that clear.
True.
We are talking about fairy as like a scientific interest
yes.
and research
and research.
Not experiential.
Right.
Right. Neither of us are initiated into fairy, but I got a ton of information from Jason Mankey's blog, and I've mentioned Jason Mankey on the show before. He has a few books out there. He has a blog called Raise the Horns. He's connected to the Paisiost blog group,
mm-hmm.
but he is, of all of the modern pagans that I know, Jason is an excellent historian.
Mm-hmm.
He does his research. He is clear and concise, and he really loves the history of Wicca and
mm-hmm.
witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a fact-finding mission to put facts out there, but it's because he's into it.
Right.
And I find his information to be great.
Well,
so a lot of the what I have in my notes today comes from Jason Mankey's research. So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to give him a thank you.
Well, good.
Okay. Yes. So, the history. Do you want to start or do you want me to?
Oh, I will let you start because you've got a good fact finder there.
Okay. So, the fairy tradition was started by Victor and Cora Anderson. So, we have a little bit of information on each of them. Victor was born in 1917. in New Mexico, and when he was a young child, his family moved to Bend, Oregon. And there is some interesting things about Victor and some controversial things about the fairy tradition mm-hmm. in general mm-hmm. that we'll talk a little bit about. But one of the things that it has been argued mm-hmm. is one Victor said that he received sexual initiation by an old woman or a witch at the age of 9, mm-hmm. which is very young
mm-hmm.
and doesn't feel like good magic to me.
Right.
Right. But this is a hot button topic, whether mm-hmm. this is true or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Valerie Boyd, who is a well-known fairy teacher, mm-hmm. has said that Victor often said that he was initiated into a coven called the Harpy Coven in 1932. And this was an eclectic coven where he learned a lot about Huna, mm-hmm. voodoo, lots of different traditions of witchcraft, mm-hmm. and we'll talk more about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1944,
yep.
yes, in 1944, Victor met Cora. And Cora was 2 years younger than him. She was raised in the South, in Alabama, and her grandfather was a root doctor,
mm-hmm.
which obviously Elvira and I have talked about being connected to hoodoo and mm-hmm. being root workers, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. here, Cora, her grandfather was Irish,
right.
but was considered a root doctor, and many of the locals in their little village referred to him as a druid.
Right.
So Cora was raised in this very sort of magical, practicing
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm.
And Victor and Cora met in 1944. They met on May 1st, and they got married 3 days later. Right?
Right. Hey.
And they both said that they had met before on the astral realm,
mm-hmm.
so that this was not a rush to marriage, but they had known each other for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and that they had finally met in body.
Right.
And a year later, they had a son.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see.
He was Victor Elon.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Victor Elon.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very witchy. They dedicated him to the goddess
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of rituals with him. And in 1949, they moved to San Leandro, California, which they lived in that town until their deaths, which mm-hmm. were in 2001 and 2008
eight.
For nine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
eight.
Yeah. Yeah. Victor died in 2001 and Cora died in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So in the very beginnings of their marriage, they started combining their knowledge and early on met Gwydion Penderwyn, who is a well-known witchy guy.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a ton of music, a ton of chants,
mm-hmm.
was very artistic. And he actually was a friend of their son
mm-hmm.
and ended up kind of having a falling out with their son and then kind of connected to them.
Right.
And the three of them really developed what fairy looks like now,
mm-hmm.
sort of.
And we love that sidebar.
Yeah, there was all kinds of subtext in that. So it might be important to say this before we get deeper.
Yes.
The thing about the fairy tradition is there are many fractions
mm-hmm.
of fairy. There has been a lot of people who say, well, Victor told me this, or Victor told me this, or Victor told me this, and those stories are different.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is some people say, well, he told me this, and so that's the truth. And so there's been some splitting
mm-hmm.
in the fairy tradition, and there are different lineages and different sects and different groups that are kind of different. Some of them recognize the other lineages as being legitimate, and some of them don't. So fairy is tricky
mm-hmm.
because there's been a lot of difficulty and trouble. And Elvira, you have some of the breakdowns of
I have all the,
over
well,
the time.
Some because I found some really interesting information by Storm Fairy Wolf.
Yes.
And obviously we have, you know, what started out as the fairy tradition. And, of course, it was a point of reference here. It's F-E-R-I
mm-hmm.
because of wanting to delineate it. It didn't necessarily, again, another controversial point, is that it wasn't really fairy, that it was just by virtue of Victor mentioning different things, and thus it got a particular label then put on it.
Right.
But we had, obviously, the watchmaker, which was Gwydion Tenderwin, and then that was in the 50s and 60s.
Yes.
And then we kind of, and that was Celtic and some voodoo, and he was more bardic, shamanic, and, of course, some psychedelic in there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's important, right? We need to keep in mind what was the world like in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Right? There was a sexual revolution. There was a drug revolution.
Mm-hmm.
There were people, a lot of the founders of witchcraft, of what modern witchcraft looked like, were rallying against the status quo.
Right.
And that's what Victor and Cora and Gwydion were doing. They
right.
were rallying against the status quo and using sex, drugs, and rock and roll to expand their minds.
And that's not, it's, this is done with understanding the backdrop of
yeah.
where this was started from, or where people were bringing it forward from, as opposed to a criticism.
Right.
So, and then you had in the 70s, you had Alisa Harlow, and that was the Vantha, and she basically was the dark goddesses, and elemental journey work, and with, you know, working with the Tower family, which is, you know, obviously another side of the elements, and but definitely not with the guardian spirits that were part of the fairy tradition.
Yeah.
And then, of course, still in the 70s, you had the compost, which started with Starhawk,
mm-hmm.
and she started doing it with exactly, she was an initiate.
Right.
But then she took many different elements and took some personal experience and then, you know, got started from published works, and she kind of branched off and she did her own thing, which she didn't necessarily say was fairy.
Right.
But it was the beginning of what she would put together as reclaiming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Steve Huell, Eldry Little Wolf, and Gabriel Carrillo.
Right.
And that was Silver Wheel.
Gabriel Carrillo is a very controversial person, and I just want to be clear and name that out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And to be clear about that, Gabriel is one of those folks in the early splitting that had some controversial things to say. And,
uh-huh.
and one of the things that comes up a lot around fairy and some of the controversy around fairy is this idea of sexual initiation.
Uh-huh.
And Gabriel actually lived in the Bay where Elvira and I live.
Uh-huh.
There were many folks who went through initiation with Gabriel, and there have been some folks who felt like they were maybe manipulated into sexual initiation, like they felt a little bit preyed upon
uh-huh.
by this person.
Uh-huh.
Gabriel was amazingly gifted, a wonderful magician, amazingly charismatic, and
uh-huh.
there are these other stories that he was a predator.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm not making a judgment on one side or the other because I never met him. I only know people that went through, I know people who trained with him and
right.
through things with him.
Right, and have
and
their
I've
own
never
feelings.
Met. He's since passed on.
Right.
He's passed away. But he is one of the controversial characters that often comes up when you bring up fairy with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's, again, these are all things that people, the versions of what they chose to do and work with
yeah.
are things from themselves as much as they are the spiritual practice or mm-hmm. teachings that they were trying to work with. So,
yeah.
you
in
know.
The 70s and 80s, the first big split was about money.
Yeah.
Many fairy people felt that charging money to learn was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were charging money, then you weren't being true to fairy and you were no longer a legitimate fairy practitioner.
And interesting, that is something that still plagues
yeah.
a lot of
witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that to still be said. And, of course, they sought to refine workable exercises and teaching tools. They became a coven called Coryphalia, and then finally into Blood Rose, a teaching coven.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the largest pools
yeah.
from which fairy practitioners come from.
Yeah.
And, you know, or start their own. And so then you also have, and this is interesting, Draconian Pickish Elven.
Yes.
Which was by Brian Dragon. And later he was also an initiate of the Blood Rose.
Right.
So.
Yes, there is some writing and some said that Anderson referred to his form of Wicca or witchcraft as the Pictish tradition.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, personally, I find that to be very far-fetched, because
uh-huh.
anything about the Picts, there is not anything.
There isn't anything. You
them.
Can't find it. You can't
yeah.
find
so
it.
So to say that, you know, and again, we're looking at a time in the 60s and 70s and the late 50s where people were going on a psychedelic journey or a journey into the astral, even without the use of psychedelics, gaining all of this very powerful esoteric information and then bringing it back into the mundane world.
Right.
Modern pagans, those of us from the year 2017, we tend to look at that type of information with a skeptical eye.
Right.
We want to know the historical significance.
Uh-huh.
We want to know the lineage.
Uh-huh.
We want to know where did you gain that information from.
Uh-huh.
And I think not that people in the 60s were stupid, but this was all new. And
right.
they were having their minds blown, and they were having these experiences that were revolutionary,
uh-huh.
where now we're a little bit more jaded.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, Brian took a lot of inspirational sources with Tolkien and
right.
Jim Morrison writing.
Right. Right.
So I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying, hey, this is, if you're getting it from there, that's great. But then those two were making their contribution on a literary process.
Yeah. Right.
So,
right.
you know, and then about the late 80s is when Bloodstone broke apart, quote, with scandal, unquote. And some of the members decided to form the Sacred Wheel. It was a loose-knit group of teachers and students based in the San Francisco Bay Area, practicing, you know, materials that they chose to, you know, utilize, and continuing, you know, using fairy and larger materials, body materials.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, from there, we go into one of the descendants of Sacred Wheel is, and I love this, Night Hares, which was from that particular Blood Rose influence. And, again, materials by Gwydion and Silver Wheel. But they added elements of the Tibetan and Bon shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you start going into the 80s and 90s, and you have the Mandola Coven, and then you have their lineage being the Chia, which is, you know, the Andersons' official name of their, at one point, that's what they chose to call their coven.
Mm.
And basically tried to, they were initiates, they would initiate their members first and
right.
then train second.
Right, which is not unusual in many witchcraft traditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some witchcraft traditions, you don't get to come to any ritual until
mm-hmm.
you've been initiated.
Right, right. And but they used, their practices were very improvisational, less scripted, and, you know, used many forms of the tradition. And then we come to Anar. Anar is drawing directly on the Andersons' teachings, but she is also coming from an artist, author, and dancer perspective.
Gosh. Anar is a very well-known belly mm-hmm. dancer, and I want to say, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, go ahead. This is kind of neat.
So Victor or Anderson
mm-hmm.
was the grand master of fairy,
mm-hmm.
and then he died.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cora, his wife, sort of by default, was the Grand Master.
Right.
And Anar has been very forthcoming. Anar is, like, one of the most forthcoming people I've ever met. You ask her a question, and she just says it cut and dry. Like,
right.
there's no bullshit with Anar. I really like her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what Anar was noticing, because she was still spending time with Cora, and she was very much involved with Fairy, and teaching and practicing, and she was noticing that people were stealing from Cora. Like, people were starting to take little artifacts and things because they knew Cora was getting older and
mm-hmm.
ill,
mm-hmm.
and Anar was getting really upset about it and felt very protective of Cora. Like, how can these people who say they're spiritual be stealing from our elders?
Right.
And Cora started to mention, I think you should be Grand Master, Anar. And Anar was like, no,
mm-hmm.
no, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But then she realized if she stepped into that position of power, she could maybe help Cora from being thieved again.
Right,
and
right.
And so Korra basically handed the title to Inara as Grandmaster of Faerie.
Mm-hmm.
Inara still retains that title. She is the Grandmaster of the Faerie tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear Inara say something, if you've read something by Inara, and Jason Menke actually, the blog that I was referring to a little while ago, there's a whole interview with Inara
mm-hmm.
in that blog, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know you're getting true information because you're hearing from the Grandmaster.
Right.
Right.
So. Right. And she actually, you know, I think one of the things that was pointed out from the information I was getting is that the Grandmaster is a spiritual responsibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, as opposed to a position of authority, at least that is what I think
right.
from what I'm reading is how people feel, but that may mean, you know, I mean, she doesn't have like the ultimate authority because
right.
this has got too many branches
right.
to be that.
Right. And it's an autonomous, well, I don't know if that's the right word, but you are your own spiritual authority in this tradition,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need someone to be the go-between for you.
Between you and intercessor.
Right. But
right.
you do want to make sure the information you're getting is legitimate. And
right.
Inara is legitimate
right.
as it gets. And,
right.
and Elvira mentioned Storm Fairy Wolf, who is another well-known teacher. And this is also someone that I've met and that
mm-hmm.
I know who is amazing and gifted and skilled
mm-hmm.
and teaches the fairy tradition both in person and in a distance course.
Right.
So if you are interested in pursuing the fairy tradition or mm-hmm. learning more or immersing into it, I highly recommend
right.
following Storm Fairy Wolf and learning from him.
Right. And they say that Inara teaches, is the creative force, is the gateway into fairy, and she does private teaching. So at least as of this writing, that's what the situation was. And then we kind of go into a lot of smaller things. Princess Valerie Walker, mm-hmm. a member of Compost, and initiated by Starhawk, and later, you know, we initiated into Night Hares. She founded her own called, and I love this, Dust Bunnies.
Yes, the Dust Bunnies, which is still a thriving group.
Yes, and teaches a blend of fairy material from different lines and in a not-for-profit setting in San Francisco.
Yes.
So, and then you kind of go down to another one called Blackheart,
yes.
which is from, you know, both the fairy tradition as well as Third Road, which we'll talk about a little later, founded by Katrina. And she's basically in New England area and does long-distance teaching.
Not Katrina Messenger?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And from the Vanthar lineage, we got Firedrake, which was Allison Harlow and her initiate, Jete Argent. And Firedrake's main focus, obviously, is the personal union with the elemental beings,
mm.
relationships with the gods, connective magic of the great redwoods, since obviously they're teaching out of Santa Cruz,
right?
Which has a lot of redwoods. And then we kind of go down to Jenna Beachy with Shapeshifter.
Yes, and she has just released a book, and she's also a pretty cool person.
Mm-hmm.
An excellent teacher.
And, again, she's got hers is very simple. I think the way it was quoted here is right action, creativity, discipline, service, and laughter empowered by magic, poetry, and wisdom.
Nice.
So she teaches in the Santa Cruz area and long distance. And then we get to Storm.
Right.
And his is Blue Rose, and it stems from the Blood Rose and Sacred Wheel. And basically he says, you know, that he's learned from, you know, other branches of fairy, highlighting folkloric fairy myths and practices, conjure work, which we all know means
hoodoo,
and his own shamanic and trance experiences, what brings forth from his teachings. And he does do the Bay Area and long distance. So
yeah. Lots of options if you feel so inclined.
Right. And I think that I kind of go to a couple of others, but they do talk about, it's interesting, the Third Road is a school of fae shamanism
hmm.
founded by Francesca de Grandis.
Yes.
And, here's where we kind of focused on personal vision of empowerment and healing and using a largely Celtic aesthetic. It's basically, she feels it's a separate tradition.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's true with reclaiming, right? The
yes.
reclaiming tradition was influenced
mm-hmm.
by fairy, and there is even some crossover in in practices,
mm-hmm.
but they're very different.
They're very different, and that's another one that was mentioned as
yeah,
well as an that.
Offshoot, yeah.
An offshoot, and then Morningstar was the other one by T. Thorne Coyle,
mm-hmm.
Coyle, and was Evolutionary Witchcraft is the book
yeah.
that she wrote.
Yeah.
So, I mean, considering how many offshoots, and as
yeah.
it was mentioned, it's like this is just a few.
Right. Right. There's all those ones that now no longer consider themselves in that lineage
mm-hmm.
that aren't even part of that list
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot. There's a lot.
There are. And it was interesting because, and I think I want to bring this in now because
mm-hmm.
part of what we'll be talking about, I think, is, you know, some of the other concepts. But the principles, and it's in one of the sources I worked on the internet was through this particular webpage, and it's about the fairytradition.org, and they actually have principles that are published,
mm.
and they are the ones that broke off, and you know, after the death in 2011, with the longstanding tensions, some of the initiates, you know, decided to form this group,
mm.
and they have their own list.
Their own list and bylaws.
Bylaws, and this is published, which I thought was kind of interesting because it's how do I want to put this? What we've been talking about, different things, there are a lot of variances
yes.
from what we have been just discussing.
Yeah.
So it would be very hardcore to me, hardcore and rigid
right.
in terms of how they see that. And that's not bad or good. It just is that's what they chose to put forth and make
right.
it the rule of the land.
Well, and something I'm noticing and as we've started learning about, you know, more traditions and deciding that we're going to talk about different traditions
mm-hmm.
on the radio show
mm-hmm.
is that there is this human desire
mm-hmm.
to share. So we get involved in these mystery traditions where things are kept secret.
Right.
And then eventually there is some outlier
mm-hmm.
or someone who needs to challenge why this is a secret or who wants to share it with a larger amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they share. And then you have the fallout of people who are A, shocked, B, mad, C, upset, whatever. You get all
right.
these reactions.
Right.
And there have been lots of people along the way with the fairy tradition that shared information that other folks thought should not have been shared.
Right.
And so you run into all of the feelings around that.
Yeah.
Even you mentioned T. Thorne Coyle. She's huh? published several books, and one of them really gives a lot of detailed information about fairy practices.
Mm-hmm.
People were very upset about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That felt like revealing secrets.
Right.
And at some point, there is this interesting argument, and I've had this argument in reclaiming
mm-hmm.
groups. You know, where is it, where do you advertise, hey, we're here, come learn with us,
mm-hmm.
and where do you keep quiet and have the student come find you?
Right.
And one of the things I'm really noticing is more of these old school practitioners who have been a part of these traditions since their inception, since
mm-hmm.
the 50s, 60s, and 70s,
mm-hmm.
who say, you don't go find the students find you. And then we have those of us who really came up in the 80s or the 90s, or even younger, the folks from the 2000s and,
mm-hmm.
and 2010s,
mm-hmm.
who are used to the internet, used
right.
to having access to information, used to being able to just type something in and find it.
Right.
And you were having these growing pains
mm-hmm.
about mystery traditions and accessibility, and all, it's very interesting.
Right.
I don't necessarily have an opinion.
Well, because you're also part of it.
Right. And my opinion changes.
Yeah.
You know, my opinion
yeah.
changes.
And it's fascinating because, you know, we were discussing this as being one of the things we were going to put together and talk about, and I went looking in some of my hardbound books
mm-hmm.
that I have, and I noticed that there was a certain point where I stopped, obviously, acquiring certain books
right.
or certain things, and it was about this time where this started to really get popular, not because I wasn't interested, but because at that time I was going in a different direction, but now I go online and I find it,
yeah.
or, you know, I get an e-book.
Yeah.
That is, you know, open to that. And it was really kind of, it kind of put me in a perspective of, oh, I'm part of the old guard, you know, with my old books and going back and looking through the dusty covers and all. They're not so dusty anymore.
And there's not a lot of information on this tradition in our old books.
In the old books.
Yeah.
But it did allow me to explore this process because obviously I am part of what goes on out in the world in our practice, and I haven't personally been introduced specifically to Storm. I do know I've seen him come and go from Lucky Mojo's premises in the Heritage Festival and all, but I will say these are all people I'm aware of and close to in proximity of knowing through, you know, the means I am. And I'm going, oh, another level, another place.
Yeah.
So
I want to read this quote before we take a break.
Okay.
So Aidan Kelly, who you may have heard us talk about before, and I'm not going to talk a lot about now because it'll get me on a rant and I'm not looking about that today. So I have a quote from him about what it's like to study with Victor. This is, quote, "Studying with Victor presented some unusual problems. He demanded as much respect as any working-class grandfather might. One could ask for clarification, but to even hint that one disagreed with him, or worse yet, to contradict him, would result in immediate and permanent order to leave. One was tempted to ask such forbidden questions because Victor lived in mythic time and was totally uninterested in other people's concepts of logic or consistency. Another student told me that when Victor read a new book and believed it, and he believed it was true, then he considered it to have always been true, and he would rethink his history accordingly," unquote. So here we see a man whose mythos and practice and ideal changing and shifting as he learns and grows and develops. So no wonder people were all learning different things from him at different times, because his teachings changed as he developed, right? Which could be exceptionally frustrating and fascinatingly fluid.
Right. And anyway, I think with that, we will give us a break.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner with Candela Convisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand and Paige the Firyu, Wednesdays 3 to 4:30. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Adanya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Holy moly, we're back.
Yeah.
I know, we keep saying that, which kind of surprises me. So I think we might want to say just a little bit before we get into some of what you've, you know, talked about and you were going to go for.
Yeah.
Is that the fairy tradition, at least the way that I'm seeing it here, it says it's a sorceress. Sorceress practice, seeking to make changes in both the individual and the material world.
Yeah.
From, you know, more temporal, you know, for spiritual transformation and less temporal.
Yeah.
Which would explain why, again, what we just saw here, which you left us at break with, is that he would read things and it would change how he sees things.
Right.
It's not got that linear structure.
Right. It's not set in stone.
Mm-hmm. So I can see how that is part of it, but it's also about the energies that it works with, and this will lead into what you're going to say and talk about, is that it is very powerful in the energies you contact.
Right.
One of the things that when I studied with R.J. Stewart and his fairy tradition and some of the other things that he did, he talked about them being incredibly big beings, that, you know, what you did was it wasn't these small, fluffy things.
Mm-hmm.
And being that powerful and that intense, you needed to be really grounded, and you needed to have good mentors and teachers, as Phoenix has said.
Right.
And, I mean, we're talking about such things like the guardians of the fairy tradition, celestial intelligences of tremendous power who came to us from beyond the stars to teach humankind the arts of magic. This is a quote-unquote from Storm's website. And when you think about those kinds of powers, they're not little itty-bitty, you know, fluffy bunny things, even though Dust Bunnies was one of their names. So I would take it with a lot of, I mean, and if you're, this goes into something else, how balanced are you when you start?
Yes. Right. This is my experience, again, I'm not initiated in fairy, but there are a lot of reclaiming folks who are reclaiming initiates and fairy initiates.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of teachers, there are a lot of my personal mentors and my initiators in reclaiming who are connected to fairy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not my tradition, however, I have seen a lot of folks go into this tradition. And what I would say is, and Anar says this in some of her writings, the Grandmaster, you need to have a teacher. Fairy is not something to dabble in. It's not something to take on lightly. This is, it's big energy. It's intense. And if you are not working with a teacher and you're not being honest and you're not doing your daily practice and you're not staying on top of these things, you know, this is one of those traditions that can kind of send you into a dark place. There, we talk about with initiation, back in the old days, our ancestors, when they initiated a priestess of Avalon or whatever, she would be sent out into the slumps and she had to find her way back. And, and many priestesses died. And, okay, we don't know if any of this is true. However, initiation is dying to one thing and being reborn to another. It is not something to take lightly.
Right.
And moving into the fairy tradition, and I say this as someone who has witnessed this, with the fairy tradition more than any other tradition of folks that I know that are practicing, fairy is one that sends people into a very interesting road.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not solid and you are not ready, it will not be good.
Mm-hmm.
So working with someone who is experienced, working with a teacher who's legitimate and is helping you and guiding you and not just giving you information and then kicking you on your way, that is not the way fairy works. It is not energy to be taken lightly. This is not a tradition to dabble in.
No. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because you know, there are other traditions and other paths that you can follow to get your grounding and to get some kind of base, like a foundation, to be able to then move to the level of something as larger or bigger. It's that I know we get into something, it's exciting, it's got some incredible feelings that you pull up, and then suddenly you get spun.
Right.
And that's why I really, in reading about this, and obviously you have more personal knowledge with people you know, it's really important.
Yeah. And one of the things about fairy is a lot of the work is stepping into your own God self and recognizing yourself as God, as God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, they often refer to this as like a Luciferian energy, because that's one of the things about Lucifer. Lucifer is, in the fairy tradition, is the light bringer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that helps you to see where the shadows are, and facing your shadows and working with your shadows and beloveds, and recognizing that you are God, therefore I am God, therefore I can't tell you what to do. You're God. You tell yourself what to do. You make the rules, right? So you can see how that could become corrupted very easily. If you are not working from a place of wholeness,
Mm-hmm.
If you are not working from a place of healthiness,
mm-hmm.
where you are aware of your shadows, where you are aware of those places that maybe you need to do a little bit of healing or shamanic retrieval or whatever,
mm-hmm.
this could be really intense.
Mm-hmm.
This could be really difficult. This could take you to a dark place if you're not being spiritually clear and clean in
right.
practice.
Right. And we need to make another one of those disclaimers. The word shamanic and shamanism is consistently used throughout this particular, at least as far as the descriptions, a lot of them. And again, cultural appropriation. This is, you know, you cannot have a shaman if it is not from Siberia to be structure and, you know, right in that lineage. So we have to realize that that too
yes.
is something that has
yes.
been taken.
And I use the word shaman as ease of understanding and not as a literal
right.
definition. Yes.
Right.
But something that Anar said, because
mm-hmm.
you had asked point blank, you know, can you sum up the fairy tradition? So I just want to, I'm going to read a little bit about how she describes fairy. She
mm-hmm.
says it's a sexual tradition, which doesn't really employ a lot of physical sexual practices. It's an ecstatic tradition. We are sensual people. Our rites and practices aren't all about the sexual act itself. It's the energy of the tradition. In my practice with the Andersons, we never followed the basic Wiccan script. Ritual as practice in the Anderson home was very different, very homespun, no calling of the guardians. Sometimes we circled. Victor described the reason for casting a circle is to create a lens. The gods are looking through a microscope, and we are looking through a telescope. If we can turn the lens, it makes it easier for us to reach the gods. And I gotta say, I fucking love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that idea that the gods are looking at us through a microscope and we're looking at them through a telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could just flip that lens, how different the world looks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And it hits me in the way of saying when we talk about having the spark of creation
mm-hmm.
and we are co-creators,
right.
you know, the whole point is that it's a partnership.
Right. And she goes on to talk about how, you know, how do you know that you're in a fairy ritual or how does it feel to be in a fairy ritual? And she said, you'll know it's a fairy ritual if your spine tingles, if your head starts buzzing, or you get a great surge of sexual energy. If you get turned on, it's fairy, no matter the structure of the ritual. It's fairy if you find intense sexual energy running through your body. And another thing that I found
mm-hmm.
over and over in the writing about fairy is that all gods are fairy gods.
Mm-hmm.
All the gods are fairy gods. Even though you can read very specific names, very
mm-hmm.
specific gods, the star goddess, the peacock god, you know,
mm-hmm.
they have very specific gods that they work with.
Mm-hmm.
But any of the gods in the world are fairy gods because there is this energy
mm-hmm.
signature,
mm-hmm.
and fairy is what you tap into and connect to that energy signature,
mm-hmm.
which it makes sense to me. It's
mm-hmm.
not necessarily my cup of tea, but it totally makes sense
right,
to me.
Right. And if you're using the word fairy as a way to describe the big energy and what those big energies are personified as or hold as the containers,
mm-hmm.
then I could see that. You
right.
know, it's just, it's the version you choose to have. And yes, it's the big version.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, you can see containing that energy, letting that energy run through your body,
mm-hmm.
connecting to that energy.
Mm-hmm.
This is not light magic. This is intense. This,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is a real quote, but I've heard this many, many times, that one of the things Victor said was white magic is poetry and black magic is anything that works.
Hmm.
And I don't know if that's true, if that's a true quote,
mm-hmm.
but I've heard it enough times
mm-hmm.
that it's given to him.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So there is an intensity to this energy, and if you don't have clean practices, if you don't have clean boundaries,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have clean daily work in your life,
mm-hmm.
running that kind of energy through you could really knock you off your rocker,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. And that is that is what I think when we start looking at these things, that was probably why being drawn to other things, I found ways to connect with energies that were not of that nature, not because I wasn't strong and not because I wasn't, you know, willing to do the work or anything. It wasn't speaking to me.
Right.
But I certainly honor and appreciate the people and the traditions.
Yeah.
I just think that it's something to, it's why Hermetic traditions, you know, I mean, I always thought it was really great and wonderful and all that, but it was never, it was just, there were just too many things that were yes and no's, and yet you couldn't go beyond this, and you couldn't, not because I didn't believe it, it was that it was, that wasn't how I felt I needed
right.
or wanted to connect with that spiritual energy.
Right.
So.
Right, and that's something else that this blog post is that it's never an either or, it's an either and. And that, you know, this idea of paradox and always, and there, it's always a yes, you know, this concept around energy, life is not right and wrong, it's not black and white, it's not male and female, it's all. And that is, that's a, you know, that way of looking at the world makes a lot of sense to me, because I don't see things in black and white. It's not, it's impossible to have things be that cut and dry, in my opinion.
Right.
So I really do understand that concept. And they work a lot. So the star goddess is sort of the supreme goddess of the fairy faith. And if you see, I often think of the star goddess as like Nut of the Egyptian pantheon. And she looked at her reflection in the black mirror of space and fell in love and made love to herself. And then gave birth to all the gods, right? Which is a beautiful story. And two of those gods are the divine twins.
Right.
And the divine twins represent that paradox. Male and female, black and white, except they're not really twins. They're one. They're not one or the other. They're both, right? So it's this paradoxical energy, which I also think, when you get deeper into those traditions that sort of have a little bit more set practice, a little bit more structure, you find this concept of paradox. Usually it's not what you learn in the introduction. It's what you learn further down in training.
Right.
But it's always a yes and that paradoxical two things at once, you know?
Which to me, if I take that out of the practice we're talking about, and I look out at the world and I say, is that not the best way to look at what is going on in your life every day?
Right.
The and in both. How do you make something come to, I mean, for lack of a better term, we've called it mediation. How do you find the win-win?
Right.
You know, which is really what it's about, is, you know, I win, you get stomped on and devastated.
Right.
Which is the either or, black and white, polarity, duality.
Yeah.
So I can see the bigger picture here. But again, looking at it, I'm going, yes, and, as we're going to use that word, you need a strong container, which is you.
Right. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And one of the things Victor would say was, you are a god now. You are a god now. Own that. That's intense. Stepping into your god self, and this is something that I feel like is part of my practice, and it's something we do a lot in reclaiming, is stepping into our full self, stepping into our being a whole being. And this is many spiritual traditions, not just pagan.
Right.
Many spiritual traditions are about stepping into wholeness.
Exactly.
But when you say wholeness is that you are a god, how fucking powerful is that?
Yes. And here's where you get into the other side of it, is that when you say that, then those structured religions and belief systems that put the god or the divine outside of you,
right,
then what you're dealing with is heresy. But that's not the appropriate way that people in this tradition see it,
right.
But I can see how threatening that process is in any of our traditions that we are talking about in witchcraft and, you know, the pagan and Wiccan and alternate point of reference.
Absolutely.
It's that self-empowerment of that. And I think we've got an interesting tradition that, as I say, I found fascinating. And I did. It's funny because when I started reading this, and I'm going, the Iron Pentacle, I remember hearing it was very interesting. For me, it was like a little discovery of another way the traditions have been birthed and raised.
Right.
In that sense.
Right.
You know, they're children of another set of parents that come forward, that come down into the present.
Right.
And I think that would be how I would look at what Victor and Cora did without getting, you know, into an issue of who they took things from, is that it may be different parents that come with children that come together that then become different things in the world. If we were all looking like each other or it was all the same, it would certainly be boring.
True. And some of the, you know, you mentioned Iron Pentacle. The Iron Pentacle is a tool, right? And we work with the Iron Pentacle in reclaiming, my main tradition. And there's also the Pearl Pentacle, and that's another tool. And then one of the concepts that they work a lot with in Fairy is this triple soul, which is the triple soul, the idea of a triple soul is in many traditions. So when I learned about the triple soul from a fairy perspective, I already had my own practice working with the triple soul that looked very different, and it's very Jungian, the idea of the id, the ego, and the superego, right? That primal voice, that primal self, that or our child self, our talking self, or our consciousness, and then our God self, or our subconscious, or superconscious, right?
Yeah.
So these are esoteric concepts that are ancient, that come from cultures all over the world.
Right.
So that is one of the big things in fairy, is working with that triple soul and aligning those three energy centers, those three pieces of ourselves.
Right. Which, if you think about it, becomes, again, the balance.
Yeah. Right.
Become a balanced being.
Right. So, you know, we've stuff. If you feel like fairy is interesting, there is a lot of information online. If you're thinking that you want to learn about the fairy tradition, then what is suggested over and over again is find a teacher. Find a teacher, find a teacher. And there are a lot of resources online. And personally, I do recommend Storm Fairy Wolf because I know him and I know that he is a good, upstanding, reputable dude.
Right.
I can't speak for all of the folks out there teaching fairy, but that's what I would say. And he actually released a book this year, Storm did. I just remember that, called Betwixt and Between.
Right.
And it is about fairy, so he's worth checking out if this is something that feels like a path you are interested in following.
Right.
So there you go. Tra-la-la.
And there we are.
And that was fast.
That was. We go by very fast.
Yes.
And next week we're doing summer solstice.
Summer solstice.
Yay!
And also, coming up a month from now, when we return from our travels on July 21st, our first live show back from being away, we're going to go to our Ask a Witch segment.
Ooh, goody.
So if you have a question you would like us to banter about, if you've always wanted to ask a witch an inappropriate or rude question,
go for it.
We're happy to answer it. So if you go to our website, which is witchpriestesscauldron.com, there is a page called Ask a Witch, and you can type in your name and your question, and we will banter about it, or we'll do a reading for you. We'll also do free readings if you want us to do a reading. Just know it won't happen till July 21st.
That's true.
And we'll mention that again next week.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
And on that note, may it be so that we have a wonderful week.
Yes.
See thee again on the radio.
Anon.
Good night.
Good night.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine. If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.